Romans 12:3 says this: "For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." In 1 Peter 2:9, Peter says this of us, that Christians are a royal priesthood. And Paul told the Corinthians that they reigned as kings in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, or the church. Now these verses seem to have a contradiction. One says for us not to think more highly than we ought to think of ourselves. The other says that we are kings and priests in the kingdom. And of course the explanation is that if we, the church, as individuals think too highly of ourselves, we naturally put ourselves above our brother. We don't think of Jesus as much as we should. We don't think we need him as much as we should. We are not compassionate as we should be. Now, on the other hand, we who are members of the church, our kingdoms, in the kingdom, in the church, our heirs, it says joint heirs with Christ. That Jesus is our Savior, and that we are all equal. And our kings and priests in the kingdom. Now, how do we do this? And not think too highly of ourselves. We need to remember that Peter didn't say you're not to think anything of yourself. He said, not think more of yourself than you should. You know, if we didn't think anything of ourselves, we wouldn't even be here today. If we weren't concerned about ourselves and thought we were worth something, we wouldn't be here today at all. The scripture says that we are to be a humble servant in the kingdom. We are to be a faithful servant. We are to bear one another's burdens. We are to be faithful, love one another. It says that when we do these things, we are kings and priests in the kingdom. There are many in the world that don't think enough of themselves to save themselves from the time that's coming before, after this life. They don't think enough of themselves to save themselves. The things of this world can blind us so easily. The pleasures and the cares of this wonderful life that we enjoy can cause us to be nearsighted. We can't see beyond this life. So this morning we're going to speak about, what am I worth? What are you worth? It used to be said that the makeup of the physical body, which is mostly of water, but the minerals and things that makes us up, is worth about $2.75. Probably higher today. Everything else is higher. That's probably higher too. But that was the worth of this physical, what you see, if it was to be sold on the market. But of course that's worth much more to us. This body that God made, that houses the spirit, the soul of man, we will give about anything to restore it and keep it. As God says we should take care of ourselves. So this morning, while I speak, I'm going to speak about the dignity of man as God sees us. Not as we see ourselves, but how God sees us. The dignity of man. In the 8th Psalm, we see both the glory of God and the dignity of man. David says, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth, who hast set thy glory above the heavens. And when I consider thy heavens and the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? In comparison to the other things that God created, man was a very small thing. In comparison to the other things. When we consider the work of his fingers, when he divided the land from the water, when he made the heavens and hung there the stars, the moon and the sun for light, when he formed the earth a habitation for man, for all living things, to provide for us the living, the things that are needful for all things that live here. But with all this power that he exhibited before us in the creation, he did all of this before he made man. And when he made man, he placed upon him a special dignity of an honor. The Bible says that he made us just a little lower than the angels. Says that he crowned us with glory and honor. Said, thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep, oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. The Bible teaches the true dignity of man as a creature made in God's image. Some would have us to believe that we evolved from some animal form millions of years ago, that we are still just an animal with more intelligence than the rest. And with such a viewpoint of ourselves, of man's self, many live his life just that way, like an animal. They can't see beyond this earth. They don't know their true worth. They don't know what the honor and dignity that God placed upon them by creating us. So they just live here after years, like the animals do, make no preparation at all for the life before us. So this morning we're going to consider the dignity of man from the viewpoint of God. Very different than we have of ourselves many times. Genesis 1:26 says, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Genesis 2:7 says, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 1:27, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So man is just not an animal. He has a dual personality, both flesh and spirit. He's physically adapted to live here in this world that God made for us. All things are needful here for the flesh. We are adapted to this world. It was made for us. Spiritually, the inner man is made after the image of God. Not the fleshly, the spiritually is made after the image of God. We'll live forever, like God will. The image of God is not in the material body, but in the spirit. John 4:24 says, God is a spirit. So our spirit, our soul, is made in the image of God. Man is made after God's image in being created with the superior intelligence over the earth, over all things in the earth. He knows more if he uses intelligence than everything else in the earth. God has placed within us a conscience. We can tell when we're right, we can tell when we're wrong. The likeness of God is of God in man is reflected in that he was created sinless and holy as God was. We're in the likeness of God when we're sinless and holy. There are those that believe, if we watch television very much, especially nature programs, believe in evolution, pictures the first man as a stooped and a haggard ape-looking like creature, that a millions of years ago climbed out of the swamp. And that's where we came from. We're his descendants. The Bible doesn't present this picture at all. First, we see a full-grown man that God made. He said, I made you in my image. And he said, I'm going to make you master of all you see. All you survey before you, I'm going to make you master over that. Says that he put all things under his feet. Man needed someone to be with him. So God made Eve as was Adam's wife. Think how they must have looked. Adam and Eve. Fresh from the hand of God. Think how they must have looked. When someone says we were descendants of a haggard thing that comes out of the swamp, surely they had features such as us, Adam and Eve, but think how beautiful they must have been. We know that later, having sinned, Adam and Eve sinned, they placed us all under the sentence of death. Even yet today, that sentence is over, so we'll be till Jesus comes. But Adam lived 930 years. Man was created vigorous and strong. You know he was to replenish the earth, but think how he must have been. Lived 930 years. Probably because the earth was clean. The diseases that kills us probably wasn't there then. But this body that God made, how marvelous it is. Man's place in the order of creation shows the favor and the honor. This world was created for his home. All things needed for life are here. Man, from the beginning, was told to work, to keep the garden, to work by the sweat of his face. He was told to name all the creation. He was placed over everything in the earth. He was told that he should subdue it. When David considered these things that God had made, especially man, he said, I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. 139th Psalm, verse 14. Even though we were made in the image of God, we were made a moral being. So we make moral choices in life. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve made the wrong choice. We know, of course, the sad story of how, by that choice that was made in the Garden of Eden, that we face death. Every one of us will die. We're a dying people, a dying race, have been since that time. Now, as we jump ahead to the New Testament scriptures, we find that the Apostle Paul says in Romans 8:22 that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. I understand this to mean this sin was placed upon man. How it burdened the people down until Jesus came. They groaned with it. Until it says until now. Romans 3:23 says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Man, by the wrong choice, lost this original honor and dignity that God placed on him in the beginning. He separated himself from the Creator by the sin that he committed. So God, in his mercy, in his love and compassion for us, he bridged the gap with Jesus' blood. He didn't leave us separated on the other side of that wall of sin that we could not see or touch him. He sent Jesus to die for us as a sacrifice for us. We read in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. And then chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Do you think sometimes it's too easy for us to feel at home in this world? Remember what it said about Abraham? It said he wandered as a stranger in the world. He looked for a city which foundations were made by God. He said he felt like a pilgrim here, traveling through. Or so are we. So we need to not get in our mind that this is our permanent home. I think sometimes we forget what an elevated position God placed in man, placed us in the beginning. And having fallen from that, what God has done that we might be restored unto him. John the Baptist, the forerunner of Christ, we're studying about him this morning in our class, said, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, Matthew 3:2. Of course, speaking of the church. It's going to come. It's at hand. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, talked about entering into this kingdom. And he said in our life, he said, you seek that first. You seek the kingdom first in your life. Make it first in your life. And in John 3:3, he said, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. What does God think we're worth? After all this, you know, he said one time he saw he made us. He repented of us, said, I repent of that, making man, because of the ornaments. Well, the scripture tells us that he's not willing that any of us should perish, but all should come to repentance. That's what he thinks of us, even yet. How we need to be thankful for the church. To think that I'm a king and a priest in the kingdom. How we need to be thankful for that. We can be saved through the church. In Matthew 11:11, it says, "He that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist." Great as he was, John came out of the wilderness preaching the coming of Christ as a forerunner of the church. But this tells me that the spiritual birth of when we're baptized into the church, says we're greater than John the Baptist was. So whenever any one of us take upon ourselves to say, "I want to be a member of the church," let's never take it lightly. Think what that means to be in the kingdom of Christ or in the church. We come back to the question that David asked. What is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? The answer is, for thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. We are more than just an animal that happened. We're more than just a creature of time that begins and ends. We're not like the old cow that goes out in the pasture, eats till her stomach's full and lays down and rests, and then gets up and eats again. She does that her whole life. She plans not ahead for anything. And someday she will get thin and old, and she will die, and she will die just like we've heard said, like Rover did. She dies all over. She goes, she's put in the ground, that's the end of her, she's forgotten. Not so with us. The Bible is true, it's the truth. The Bible is true, it's the truth. If we follow it, it will save us. If we practice it in our life, it will save us. We need to remember that when Jesus comes to take us to his kingdom, takes the kingdom or the church back to God, that those he takes with him will have to be like God made man in the first place. If we're not like that, we won't go with him. We must die sinless and holy, just like God made Adam and Eve. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. Who has set thy glory above the heavens? When I consider the heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained. What is man that thou art mindful of him? And the son of man that thou visitest him? Do we think we're worth as much as God thinks we're worth? Are we worth saving? God certainly thinks so. Jesus thinks so. But they've done all they can do for us. They've done all they can do. God sent Jesus to die to redeem our souls. And you know we're still lost. That's still not enough. If we couldn't pray to the Lord day after day, we would still be lost. How he puts up with us and the patience he bestows upon us. Consider what he's done for us. And yet we accept Jesus, we accept him as our Savior. And then, even then, If we couldn't pray, we would still be lost. The mercy of God. The dignity and honor He placed upon us. If we're going to be saved in the last day, we've got to think we're worth as much as God and Jesus thinks we're worth. Even though through the ages, man has been a disappointment to God, Jesus says, I reach out my hand to anyone that will come to me. Even yet, as long as life is in this body, Jesus reaches towards, come to me. This morning we say that as we offer the invitation. Jesus says, come to me and I will give you rest for your soul. You won't find it any place else in this old life. And you will come to a time of terror when this life ebbs away if you don't know Jesus. He will take your hand and take you through the valley of the shadow of death with hope, not fear, simply because you thought you was worth saving. You were worth something. Eternally. Consider what we said this morning. Maybe it's because as we get older, things are more serious to us. Some things that were worth so much, the value diminishes. But not Jesus, God, not the church. Our worth doesn't diminish to Jesus and God. We're worth as much as we ever was. So consider the remarks this morning. If there's some way that we can help you, come forward while we stand and sing.